Jerry, thank you for the music that helps us come to the place where we come to meet God. That's what this time is about. Coming to meet God and coming to talk with God and coming to hear God speak to us. And then worship is not complete without you responding in some way. Worship is not complete without you responding to what you heard God say to you. So listen to Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. The very first part of this psalm, and the last part, it begins and ends this way, by asking God to show favor to God's people. By asking God to show favor to God's people. Isn't that incredible? God, show us favor. Look upon us. Look down upon us. Face us. Look at us. See what we're doing. See how we are coming to you. See how we are expecting you to guide us and lead us. So this psalm begins and ends by asking God to show favor to God's people. It's as though we're a little child and we're calling out, as I heard a little bit before, calling out over there for someone to face us, look at us, to wave at us, to see us, to notice us. If you didn't catch that, that's what was happening over here in the corner with Lena, I think. She saw Eric up here and kept waving at him and kept yelling at him. And is that not how this psalm begins and ends? Lord, show us your favor. Look upon us. Face us. See us. Pay attention to us. Bless us. Lord, look at us. Please bring us your favor, God. What an incredible prayer, isn't it? How many times have you sat down and asked, not just, God, help me, God, be there for me, but God, look at me and see me and favor me, bless me. An incredible thing. We watch it happen in our world all the time. But how many times do you think about asking God to do the same thing for you? Now, the psalm also mentions why the psalmist asked for this. Why does the psalmist ask for favor? And that favor is not just for them. Listen in verse 2 again. So that your ways may be known on earth and your salvation among all nations. And then at the very end it says it again. So that all the ends of the earth will fear God. Will know and respect and follow God. Not be scared of God. That's not the concept of fear here. The concept of fear here is to recognize who God is and to acknowledge this favor of God's people leads to salvation among all people on the earth. When God shows God's favor upon us, this leads to favor for everyone else in this world. This favor of God leads to salvation among all the people on the earth. And salvation comes for others by God's people praising God for all God has done. For praising God for all that God has done. That's how salvation comes to the rest of the world. When we ask God, show us your favor, look upon us, see what we're doing, guide us, direct us, inspire us, encourage us, we're asking for that so that we can praise God. And that praise of God will bring to other people salvation. It will bring to other people salvation. Once again, being a Christian is not all about you. Being a Christian is not all about you. It's about you asking for God to bless you and favor you so that you can praise God and talk about that and let others know so that they can come to salvation. That's what it's about. It's about speaking and sharing and telling other people what God has done for you. Now, I know someone's going to tell me, well, Pastor, I praise God in the silence of my time at home. In my quiet space, I praise God. As things happen, I praise God for that. And I tell God, thank you, and I appreciate what you've done. As I read this psalm, it doesn't seem like that's what the psalmist is doing. Number one, if the psalmist was doing that, I wouldn't have this psalm for me to read, would I? I wouldn't know about what the psalmist had talked about. I wouldn't understand that this psalmist is praising God for what God has done. This praise is not done in personal, private, quiet times of devotion. It's done aloud and in public. It's done aloud and in public. And can I add one more thing to it? Because I just thought about that and I don't have it in my notes. It's also done outside the walls of the church building. Amen. Praising God for what God has done. When God shows us favor, God wants us to speak about it. God wants us to share about it. God wants us to go and tell other people about it. Not just having a quiet time praising God. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with having a quiet time and in your quiet time with God, praising God for what God has done. Nothing wrong with that. But the praise that this psalmist is speaking about is praise that this psalmist brings out into the world and talks about and shares about. As they go about their day, as they tell other people, this is what God's done for me. This is how God has helped me. This is how God raised me up. This is how God saved me. This is how God continues to show me favor. This is how God shines God's face upon me. How incredible is that? You see, the book of Romans says, the people can't be saved without preaching. Unless someone preaches, someone can't be saved. Now, can I remind you that you are priest of God? Because I know one of the things you want to say, well, Pastor, we pay you to preach. You're also a minister of God. You are also a priest of God. Representing God to the people of this earth. Therefore, you need to preach too. Now, some of you are going to tell me you can't preach. For some of you, I wish your children were here so I could ask them if you can preach or not. Amen. Because I bet some of your children would tell me you're a pretty good preacher. That you get the message across very well. Folks, this is what we need to do as we go out of these doors. The mission field is right outside that door. And you need to be a missionary here in this town. This is where God's placed you. To speak about the praise, to tell folks what the Lord has done for you, to let folks know how powerful God is. How powerful is God? God took a beach bum and saved him. God took a man who has had problems with alcohol twice in his life and saved him. God took a man that tried to live his own way, his own desires, his own plan, and saved him. Is God powerful? Maybe you don't know what a beach bum is. When I moved out of my parents' house, I lived out on a piece of land called Willoughby Spit in Norfolk. For those of you that don't know how to pronounce it properly, I think you pronounce it Norfolk. I have to think about it very carefully on how you pronounce it. It's very hard for me to say that. This little land was called Willoughby Spit. Some of you know of it. It's about 3 streets wide and about 10 or 15 streets long. The rumor is that it was built by a hurricane, and then people planted houses on it. And the rumor is that one of the hurricanes will come through one day and it will be gone. So therefore, when I got married, I was not allowed to live there anymore because my wife didn't like that idea of the next hurricane could make the house and the whole land disappear. The gentleman that I lived next to was a beach bum par excellence. He was the best beach bum I'd ever met in my life. He'd work about 3 weeks doing whatever work he could find, and then he quit. Got enough money to last for a couple of months. And then he'd work about 3 weeks more, and then he quit. He never did anything different the whole time I lived there. He was as laid back as you possibly could be. Most of the time, all he did was get a job at a restaurant washing dishes. He didn't want any more responsibility. He didn't want anything more in life. He just wanted to live his life on the beach. And he did. I wish I could tell you that he came to God, but I don't know. I wasn't at that place in my life where I was trying and seeking to help people come to God. But you see, that's a beach bum's life. You don't really care about what comes tomorrow. He didn't care if he could pay his bills. It didn't bother him at all. Walked out of my apartment one day and saw this electric cord running from the basement of our house over to his place. I said, "Rick, what's going on?" He said, "Oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it." I said, "No, what's happening here?" He had spliced his electric cord into the electric company's line before my meter. He said, "It won't show up on your meter. Don't worry about it. And the cord won't be there when they come to read the meter." See, that's a beach bum. And you know what? God can save them. God saved me. Because that's all I really wanted to be. I wanted to have a good family. I wanted to have a good life. But all I really want to be is a beach bum. Guess I'll never make it because I kind of think working a job and getting some money is important so that I can do other things. But he was one of the happiest people I'd ever met and taught me a great deal about life at a very young age. God has the power to save anyone. There is no one that has gone so far down that path that God can't save them. No one. There is no one that has gone so far down that path that God can't redeem them. And when it happens, we should be about praising God. And we should be about telling other people what has happened, what has gone on, how God has blessed, how God has shown favor. Have you got all afternoon? I could tell you the ways that God has blessed my family. Over and above and beyond. I used to pray and say, God, the locusts have eaten my life for 18 years. You promised in the book of Amos to redeem the lives that come to you. You promised that you would redeem those whose lives have been eaten by the locust. God has gone far past what I ever thought when I held that promise up to God. God has blessed over and above and beyond in tremendous and powerful ways. He didn't pay me back just for the years the locust ate. He's paid me way past that. Because I deserve it, right? No. Thank you, Alan. I don't deserve it. Scripture says that I deserve death and death alone because I'm a sinner. But isn't it time to praise God? Isn't it time to be alive about what God has done for you? Isn't it time to let people know? I want to ask you, think about the mighty things God has done for you. What are they? Think about the mighty things that God has done for you. What are they? Things that you never could have accomplished. Things that you never could have gotten done without God's power. What are they? Think about them. I encourage you sometime, take a piece of paper or a notebook, because I think you're going to need a notebook, and start writing them out. What has God done to bless you? How has God shown you favor? How has God looked upon you and said, I love you? How's God done it today already? I had a wonderful quiet time this morning. Just sitting quietly listening to someone else read Psalm 23. How incredible that was. When I think about God as my shepherd, that God takes care of me, there was food for me to eat this morning. There was a comfortable place for me to sit while I ate that food. There was breath that I could take. How has God blessed you? What has God done for you? In case you thought that was my last question, it's not. Because now I'm going to ask you this. Will the people around you hear you praise God for God's favor on you? Will the people around you hear you praise God for God's favor on you? What does the psalmist say? That's how salvation comes for them. Will people hear you praise God today? Will they tomorrow? You see, each morning you get up, you got that decision to make. Am I going to talk about how God has favored me or not? And the psalmist says that when we talk about how God has favored us, that other people come to salvation. I know somebody here wants to tell me, well, they'll know by the way I live my life that I'm a Christian. Then why didn't Jesus find it necessary to talk? Why did Jesus find it necessary to talk if people can come to Christ by watching how I live? Folks, we need to talk. We need to tell people. Why are people not coming to Christ? Because maybe not enough people are telling them how powerful God is. Maybe not enough people are telling them the incredible things that God does. And they're stuck in the midst of this world that wants to tell them one negative thing after another. And when all you hear is negative things, one right after another, right after another, right after another, what do you start thinking? Negative things. What if all of us, there's almost 60 of us here today, what if all of us went out in the community and told about the positive, incredible blessings that God has given us? I'll bet the chances are that some of us will run into some of the same people. Now imagine what happens when they hear 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people tell them about the incredible things that God has done and how God shows favor and how God blesses and the power that God has. Do you think that might change this town? I'm silly enough to believe that it will. Because I believe that God has that kind of power. And people need to hear the positive things about God and how God has worked in our lives, not just in here. So I'm going to ask you once again, will the people around you hear you praise God for God's favor on you when you walk out this door today? Not just in here. It's great when we do that among ourselves because it encourages each other. But will the people out there that could care less to be in church on a Sunday morning, will they hear you praise about God? It might mean salvation for them. Think about that. It might mean salvation for them. Either that or they're going to come up with the wildest conspiracy theory about this church trying to impress upon people. But I really think that what they're going to hear is about a God that's powerful, a God that's mighty, a God that can save, a God that can bring people up from the lowest places of the earth right to live in great blessing and honor. Will people hear you speak about God? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning because living the life of a Christian is not always easy. Sometimes we can be influenced by what goes on around us. And oftentimes we're influenced by the very negative ways that this world tries to exist, tries to live. Turn on the news and all we hear most of the time is negative information. Lord, I pray that you would place within the hearts of your people a desire to go out into the midst of this town and to praise God like we never have before. To praise you, Lord, in a way that people could see how mighty your power is. that people can see what God can do. And that they will be confronted with that time and time and time again about how powerful, how wonderful, how capable you are, how much you love, how much you're concerned, how much you want to bless people on earth. And that their hearts would be softened to come to Jesus Christ. And just to say, Lord, I've lived my own way. Forgive me for my sins. And save me by the power of Jesus Christ. Lord, guide us to that place where we could praise you at all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.